Thank you so much for waiting, Jeremy. Can you hear us?
Yep, I got you.
All right, and we're now joined by the race-winning crew chief, Jeremy Bullins. Jeremy, can you just walk us through your strategy there throughout the race and how it feels to get the win at New Hampshire?
Yeah, obviously a great day for this Alliance Parts Mustang. You know, the strategy was fairly straightforward. Most of the time you had, you know, enough laps that you you wanted to pit. You know, we made a strategy play there early in stage one to stay out of the Comp Yellow and try to run that whole stage, and almost paid off. So, you know, it was worked out okay for us. And, you know, it seemed like after that, the cautions kept falling near the fuel windows. So, you know, you had to make the decision, am I going to pit here or stay out and wait a little bit longer? And, you know, fortunately, we seemed like we timed that pretty close and were able to keep cycling back to the front.
All right. Well, we are going to start taking questions for Jeremy. If you have a question, please click the participants tab and raise your hand. We're going to kick it off with Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Jeremy, you know, you guys obviously had the success with winning at Bristol, but there haven't been many of these 750 horsepower package races so far this season. And obviously now the rest of the way, I think it's like over half the races are going to be. What is the challenge going to be? Obviously, you guys have found some success. What is the challenge going to be staying ahead of everybody as people have more and more opportunities to catch up and run races and try things that you guys haven't had the first half of the season? I think with only about four races so far, it just is very imbalanced in how it's kind of worked out schedule-wise. What's the challenge in trying to stay ahead or trying to, you know, catch up in some areas maybe?
Yeah, obviously with Phoenix being the championship race this year and, you know, Bristol and Richmond and Martinsville is all being playoff races, the 750 stuff's going to play a big role in deciding this whole thing. And we certainly put a effort into that, and Brad's really good at the 750 stuff and has been for a long time. So, you know, I think that you just have to keep working. You just have to take every race as a practice session and learn everything you can from what we did today and the decisions we made coming here, and try to use that to, you know, we took things all the way back from Phoenix, notes from Phoenix and things that we did in Phoenix, and applied to how we came here because it was the same tires. So you just have to use all the information you can get and treat each race like a big practice session and try to learn as much as you can.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Steven Toronto. Go ahead, Steven.
Jeremy, Denny was actually just talking to us about how the lack of a Richmond race in the spring affected his team's ability to build a baseline setup for some of the flatter racetracks. Not having that first Richmond race, exactly how jarring has it been, and how do you adapt and make sure that you have a good baseline in place for Phoenix, New Hampshire, etc.?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, there are certain you know, races throughout the year, throughout the normal schedule, that have historically been almost a checkpoint of where you're at against the competition. And that first Richmond race is always a really good test to see where you stack up and see what you need to work on, and not having that. And to Dustin's point, it's been so long since we had a 750 race, you know, you really got to knock the dust off your Phoenix notebook and try to look back at what we did there and think through that. But, you know, fortunately we spent a lot of time during the shutdown trying to plan ahead and take what we learned at Phoenix and get smarter yet, because like I said, there's such a big emphasis on that race at the end of the year.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Our next question will come from Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Jeremy, without practice, how confident are you in your fuel mileage calls?
Pretty good. You know, it's one of those things that we historically track a lot. So we've got a great database, if you will, of all the history with that stuff, even with this aero package going back to 2018 and what the mileage was. And Roush Yates does a great job of not only giving us good horsepower, but, you know, kind of letting us where they think we are on the fuel curves and everything for the engine maps and what the mileage should be. So we kind of have a good game plan going into it. And then as soon as you get a stop or two under your belt, you kind of know where you're at for the day, and it's pretty easy to work backwards from there. I mean, there's always going to be situations like today where you're pitting closer to the window than you want to be, or just outside of the window and you need a couple cautions, but I'd say we have a pretty good idea. It's a fairly educated guess.
I mean, when Harvick goes, you know, 100 something laps, I mean, obviously there were some caution laps in their same engine. Does that add to your info, or is it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, those guys are on the same tune up that you are, and you know, should be really close. And when you see that, it kind of gives you some confidence to know that that's possible, that's doable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Congrats, Jeremy.
Thank you.
After Brad got out of the car, he said that he's had a great career, but he probably needed a kick in the butt. And he felt that you and this two team have done that to him this season and made him a better driver. Obviously, you've been around Brad before the season, but I just wondered if you've noticed anything different about while working with him as a crew chief or anything along those lines that would make him say something like that.
You know, I think in a lot of ways, it's very similar when I worked with him in the Xfinity car. You get the feeling that you got a shot to win every week, and that's all you can ask for. And that's the way it was when we were on the Xfinity car. We left the shop thinking we should win this race. And, you know, we've only got three wins, which is great. But, you know, there's a lot of races we look back and think, man, if we'd have done this a little bit different or that a little bit different, we could have won that race too. And, you know, I think that's a testament to this team. I think this group is very good at not taking no for an answer in a lot of ways when it comes to trying to get better and trying to push things and find new ways to find speed and find handling in these cars. And I think everybody at Team Penske has that mentality. And I think it's been a really good working relationship with Brad. And we've tried to use his experience to our advantage as a team. And, you know, I think a lot of it is just, you know, I told him day one, like, our job is to give him the tools to be successful. And you know, we're going to rely on your feedback a lot to do that and your experience. And it's just been a good mix. And, you know, I think just some fresh ideas from our team and you combine that with his experience and being able to talk about what you anticipate the racetrack's going to do as the day goes. That stuff's invaluable when it comes to making good decisions.
And Brad talked about how important it was to him, and I assume to you, to go out and get one of those dominating wins where you just kind of go out and perform at your best all day and come out the winner. But he doesn't like to talk about other drivers in particular, but getting that today, but also doing it in what, for the most part, was a one-on-one battle with Denny Hamlin, who's been obviously one of the better teams so far this season. Was that a telltale sign for you guys too?
Well, I think it's what you have to do. If you want to, you know, the way things are looking so far this year, the 4 and 11 have been the teams to beat. So you need to come out and show that you can do that. But you know, I think we're not giving away the championship yet. So everybody's still got a lot of work to do. And you know, we've got to be able to do this in Phoenix, and we got to be able to win enough races between now and then to be in the final four to get to Phoenix. But, you know, the other two wins, not taking anything away from them, we had great cars, and we put ourselves in position to take advantage of situations late in the race. But this, we won this race, and it does feel different. It is more fun to do it that way. They're all great, and we're not going to be disappointed in any of them. But today was a lot of fun, and today's the kind of the day that you need if you want to contend for a championship.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, and we're going to take a question for Jeremy from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Jeremy, congrats on this today. You and your teammates have been extremely fast all year, but I think really highlighted lately by Blaney and his success. I know you can really only speak for your team, but how significant is it for you guys to be able to break through for Team Penske today and capitalize on the speed that you had?
Yeah, I think, you know, today was a day where, you know, obviously with no practice, no qualifying, the things that you have to do, we nailed the setup. I would argue better than anybody, and we had the best long run car, and you know, the race played out to where you needed to. We got a couple long runs that paid off for us, and you know, I think we've had speed a lot. We've had a lot of top tens. We've had a lot of solid days. You know, we were close to Kansas. You know, we've really worked hard on the 550 package and trying to take the next step there, and we got closer at Kansas to a win, and you know, felt like coming here that if things went right, we'd have a good shot at it. It's nice when the plan comes together, I guess.
And is there anything in particular that you're eager to learn over these next few weeks as the playoffs approach?
You know, I think the big thing for us is to try to take these races like today that carry over to the Richmonds and Phoenix and try to learn as much as we can. Take away, we'll debrief tomorrow and try to, you know, learn as much as we can from what we did today, the decisions we made and what will apply moving forward and what we can do better moving forward. You know, some of the races the next few weeks don't really, you know, like some of the races, you know, Michigan's not in the playoffs, so it's obviously a race we want to go win, but you know, some of that stuff, you're just trying to go win a race and get stage points and playoff points. But, you know, I think you every opportunity that we're at the racetrack with no practice, every race is like a practice, and you're trying to learn as much as you can from it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right, Jeremy, we actually had one more question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Congratulations, Jeremy. Happy Thanks. For you.
Thank you.
I think I heard you on the radio say, you know, at some point, you know, the months are starting to run together, but I think you heard you say at one point on Sirius that you wanted to make the car competitive enough that Keselowski, you know, wanted to stay and continue to be your driver for a long time. What is it about him that, you know, just really gets you jazzed up and excited to come to work every day?
Well, I think, you know, you just go back to the all the success that we had in the Xfinity car. And, you know, I think we won 14 races or so with that car. And like I said, it's a lot of fun to work with him. You know that there aren't very many tracks that you're not going to go to that you don't have a chance to win the race. And that's the ideal situation. And, you know, this is a performance business, and in a lot of ways, every year is a contract year. So, you know, the pressure is always there to be successful and to compete. And, but that's what we live for, and that's what we want to do. And, you know, when we got paired up in January, I told him, I was like, our job is to give you what you need to be successful. And I, you know, I'm going to need your help with what that is, but we'll make it happen. And, you know, so far so good. And, you know, obviously it's going really well, and hopefully we can keep it all together.
How have you seen him mature over the last few years after having a couple of daughters that move into the leadership role in the, you know, top Penske car?
Sorry, Lee, I only caught the last half of that. Can you repeat the question, please?
Certainly. How have you seen him mature since having his two daughters and, you know, taking the leadership role at Team Penske?
You know, I think he's grown a lot over the years. You know, when I first started working with him, you know, he wasn't married, didn't have any kids. And, you know, now he's married with two kids and a business outside of racing. So, he's, you know, obviously when you have that kind of responsibility, you have to learn to you find a good balance in your life and find a way to make everything successful. And that's one of the things that we talk about all the time is, you know, he's the first one to ask, what do you need from me? And I'm the first one to tell him when I need something. And I think just trying to find that good balance of what we need to be successful as a team. And at the same time, you know, let him enjoy life with his family and do the things he needs to do. And, but he's certainly not one to shy away from his part of the responsibility.
Thanks for your time. Safe travels.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your patience and for joining us. And congratulations on the win. We'll see you next week at Michigan.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And to all the media, as a reminder, the transcripts, video, and audio from this post-race conference will be on NASCARmedia.com shortly. And if you have any questions, please reach out to one of us. Thank you so much.